You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Kei te whakarongo koe ki te Wire, marunga irirangi pō.
The Wire.
A report commissioned by Kia Manawanui Trust has found that there are deep flaws in the healthcare system when it comes to heart health and disease. According to Chief Executive Letitia Harding, heart care in New Zealand isn't just stretched, it's on the verge of collapse. We are failing in all aspects and it's costing New Zealanders their lives. From serious delays for patients, a workforce shortage, a so-called postcode lottery relating to the availability of heart specialists, and disparate harm for Māori and Pacific people, the Trust says this report should be a wake-up call for the government. I spoke to Letitia Harding about this report and how the government should respond. Can you start by explaining what some of the key findings of this report reveal about the failures in New Zealand's healthcare system?
Yeah, well, we're particularly focused on, of course, the heart healthcare system in this report, and probably two key areas really jump out at us. One is the cardiology workforce, so the lack of investment in that space, and also the times to intervention for people who have a particular heart attack, especially in the mid-central and central regions.
Are you surprised that the data indicates a disproportionately high impact of poor heart health for Māori and Pacific populations? And what measures do you believe need to be put in place to address this disparity specifically?
Yeah, I think like, other sort of areas in our health, we can see the inequities between Māori and Pacific especially. This report showed, you know, heart failure, for instance, was the highest cardiac cause of hospitalisations for both Māori and Pacific peoples, around, you know, over 24%, 27%. So that's a huge problem. And also the fact that people are Māori or Pacific are dying 10 years, you know, earlier than non-Māori or Pacific. I think that's a real problem too. Obviously, we can see that from this report, and it coincides with other areas of research. There's got to be just one of the things that stood out for us. If you look at the regions where the biggest issues are standing out, the mid-central and central regions that have a high proportion of Māori population, that's why you may also be seeing these disparities, and I think we need to concentrate on those areas to try and bring that gap closer.
What do you think should be the government's priority in terms of responding to these findings generally?
Yeah, so we met with the minister in April to discuss these, and there's some real concrete things that the minister can do right now, the Minister of Health, and that is, you know, more cardiac beds in those referral centres that take patients from outside the mid-central and central regions, so those smaller regional feeder hospitals that go to the main hospitals when they need to have an angiogram. They don't have enough cardiac beds, and they need to increase that immediately, really. And the other thing is we need to be looking at our workforce, especially our, you know, cardiologists and the team that goes around that, the cardiac physiologists and sonographers. That's a real wake-up call.
Does the health sector have the mechanisms in place to increase the workforce or improve conditions and timeframes for patients? Or what more is needed to get to that point that you would say is sufficient to provide health care across New Zealand?
Well, I think from this one, it's just a lack of investment over decades. So not this government or the previous government, we're talking about decades of underfunding, especially in those regions at risk. So, you know, infrastructure, just we've got to have more dedicated cardiac beds so we can get patients referred from Gisborne or Whanganui to the main hospital so they can have an angiogram, and that is clearly shown in this report. And also, if we're going to attract cardiologists, you know, to our country, then you've got to have, you know, the equipment, and you've got to have the infrastructure and not have these sort of delays, because at the end of the day, you know, people who are working in this area do it for the good of patients, and it's incredibly frustrating if their hands are tied because they just don't have the resources to do that.
Are there any other countries that you think that maybe New Zealand could look to as an example for the way that they fund or support their healthcare workers or the health sector generally?
Well, I think we need to be very careful that we're not investing just into our private hospitals. We don't want to have, you know, gaps between people who can afford healthcare and those who can't, like in places like the US. We actually want to be a role model in our healthcare system, and, you know, we should be. There's no excuse for it in New Zealand. What we need to do is invest in those public hospitals. It's all very well having shiny new, you know, private hospitals popping up all over the place doing elective surgery, hips and joints and things, but, you know, they're not the ones who are seeing patients at 3 a.m. in the morning with a heart attack. Those will be going to our public hospitals, the likes of, you know, Waikato and Wellington, where we can see there's a huge problem, and that comes down to the lack of investment.
You've spoken a bit about there being this kind of postcode lottery when it comes to how to the extent that people are able to be supported through health. How does that kind of thing come about?
It is really important to be looking at, and people talk about all the time, that hub and spoke model. You know, we need to have a very good integrated system with our primary care investment and obviously preventative measures, people living longer, living better, keeping healthy. But ultimately, there's going to be some people are going to end up in hospital. That's just the way it is. So, you know, it's investment in that sector that's a lack of investment that's got us to where we are today and what this report shows. So, you know, there's concrete things that can be done, and we're hoping the minister takes it seriously and does invest in actually placements for things like, you know, new sonographers actually working in the hospitals, not just places for training for cardiac sonographers, but actually placements in the hospital. So we can look at those echo wait lists and action on the cardiac beds and services.
What kind of proactive approaches are available to New Zealanders as a means of improving heart health before the point of serious illness or disease?
Yeah, I think people just, you know, if you can, obviously, all of those good things, you know, keeping fit, you know, watching what you're eating, all of those primary care preventions are really, really important. And there's a lot of crossover to things like, you know, healthy homes and environment and the places where you're living that have an influence on this as well. So it's being aware, I think, being aware that these regions that are at risk, like your mid-central and central regions, you know, the public need to be aware of that. And hopefully they can also put pressure on the government and on the minister to say, actually, we need cardiac beds in our hospital because, you know, that's where our whānau is being referred to.
That was Kia Manawa Nui Trust Aotearoa Chief Executive Letitia Harding on the flaws in the heart healthcare system in New Zealand.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.